Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We are today in Parashat Truma. Now, the interesting thing about Truma is from now to, generally speaking, to the end of the book, we are talking about the Mishkan. Details and more details. And one of the first questions is, first of all, what are we architects? We need to know all those details, how it was built, and what exactly all the materials. And nevertheless, the Mishkan, is something is not going to happen again. It was once in the desert, and that's it. Then we have the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, which, unfortunately, we haven't got it yet, but we are waiting for it to rebuild, but we are not talking about the Mishkan anymore. In other words, the Mishkan was something that happened in the desert, and that's it. But the Torah is not a history book. So if the Torah is telling about a Mishkan and all the details, there is a big important lesson for us. And one of the main important lessons is, in a very simple phrase that is written here, Vasuli Mikdash Veshachanti Betocham. You will build me a Mikdash. What is the Mikdash? Beit HaMikdash, which is the temple. Veshachanti Betocham, and I will
dwell among you.
Mikdash is singular, and Shachanti Betocham is plural. So what does it mean? So of course we all know the idea is not the building that we're talking about. The idea is that we should build or sanctify ourselves, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu can dwell among us, inside us. That's the idea of Asuri Mikdash Shachanti Betocham. Now, we are talking about a Mishkan and not a Mikdash. So why is it Vasuli Mikdash, Vasuli Mishkan? We're talking about a Mishkan.
Because before it became a Mikdash, it was a Mishkan.
Huh? Yeah, but we're talking about a Mishkan. That's exactly the thing. That's the question. So the Mikdash is not happening now in our parsha.
Okay.
It's so many years later.
So it's telling what's going to be in the future.
What's going to be in the future. Okay. Still, there is a problem because the Torah is talking about the Mishkan, and it would be only properly to cite Vasuli Mishkan Veshachanti Betocham or Betocho.
No, but it's not good enough, the Mishkan. The Mishkan is only a temporary place.
It's got to be.
But that's what we're talking about.
Not
one parsha, not one pasuk, but a few parshot are talking about the Mishkan.
And
not the Mikdash.
And all the details.
Every small detail.
Right.
The thing is, what is Mikdash? Now, if I want to translate the Mikdash.
It's actually an altar. Is that what you mean?
It's a Mikdash.
Mikdash is an altar.
Is that, what is a Kedusha? What is
a holy place.
In other words, I have to sanctify this building, and then it's a Mishkan. Because otherwise it's not a Mishkan. Because what's the meaning of Mishkan?
Mishkan.
Mishkan is a place where you stay, where you dwell. In other words, if God, we want God to come and stay in the Mishkan, it's not going to be a Mishkan if we're not sanctifying it.
In the Lokadosh.
Exactly. So that's what the Torah is telling us. Vasuli Mikdash. It's not just another building. It's a Mikdash. And that's the way you should look at it. And all those details, what's the meaning of it? The prophet Yechezkel is being told to tell Am Yisrael that are suffering in the Galut, to tell them about how is the temple built.
It's not me.
And they should learn what it's all about. So the prophet asks God, is this, it's like, you know, imagine to yourself this multimillionaire loses all his money. Milchon. Maybe he's going to lose now, I don't know. And anyway, he loses the money and he runs away and hides in some faraway place, living like the poorest guy that there is. Like, is hardly something for him to eat. and in really the worst condition you can imagine to yourself. One of his old friends finds out where he is, and he goes to visit him. And what do you think he's talking about, and what is he showing him? He is going with the, you know, those magazines, the Rich and Famous, and all this shows you how the rich live and everything, and
Cosmopolitan
all.
Cosmopolitan.
Yeah. So yeah. It comes with a whole bunch of those, magazines that show you all the good life of the rich people in the world. What would you think about a friend like this? Is this the right thing to do to somebody who lost everything? And he's got nothing, and you're showing him how all the rich people living?
No, not nice.
It's not nice. So that's what the prophet Yechezkel doesn't understand. You want me to talk with Am Yisrael on the temple and the glory of it, and they're not going to build it now. They are in a very bad situation. Is this really the right time?
Well, that's different, because then he's giving them, you know, a future.
Yeah, but they're living in a different...
Right.
They're in the desert now, right?
No, we're talking now about Am Yisrael in the diaspora. This is after the temple was
destroyed,
and there is no temple.
Oh,
No.
It's a different story.
Yeah.
It's a different type of life form.
And
magically,
the idea is very simple. What God is telling, the prophet is telling him, so if we don't build it physically, so nobody is going to deal with the temple? Nobody is going to build it?
And this is a reminder the whole time.
It's not only a reminder. It's telling, you should look at it, and that's the way you should do. And by the way, it's also written here. When Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, ועשו לי מקדש, you will build me a temple, ושכנתי בתוכם, and I will dwell among you, ככל אשר אני מראה אותך, like everything I'm showing you, the plan of the משכן, תבנית המשכן, ואת תבנית כל כליו, and how all the tools are being made, וכן תעשו, and this is what you should do. And what is end?
What is what?
Ve. What is ve? Vechen ta'asu.
Vechen.
It's obvious. Vechen. Maze vechen ta'asu. What is this va?
In the future, maybe.
It's not only the future. It's what we read in the Torah about building the Mishkan and all the details. It's not really talking about a physical building. As we said, it's something spiritual. The Torah is trying to tell us how we should behave. In other words, two things are happening when we learn this parsha. First of all, kriyata ibniyata. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells the prophet, if they will read and learn the way the temple is being built, they are really, what are they doing? They building the temple. In other words, when we learn the parsha, the same way is in the morning when we say korbanot, there is no temple. We don't bring any sacrifices. But in the beginning of the Shachrit, there is all this thing about sacrificing. And our sages say that those who say and understand what they're saying about the sacrifice in the morning, they are like they are doing the sacrifice itself, which is a big privilege. Because you have the opportunity to do things that you cannot even do when the temple is going to be built. And this is what the idea is about learning the parsha. And learning about the Mishkan, that it looks like it's not going to happen again. But the idea is that when we learn, we are really building our own temple. How? It's very nice to say, to talk like this.
Connecting yourself with Hashem.
Not only this, you connect yourself to Hashem through what you're learning here. And learn about yourself what you should do. As we said, it's not a story. It's really real thing to tell us how to behave. For example, when we talk about the measurements, there are a lot of measurements in our parsha. And you can look through it. And we'll see that we learn from the measurements, the way they are being written, and we also learn from something else. We talked about it in the past. There is one thing in our parsha that's got no measurements at all. And it's being quite, let's say, not one pasuk is talking about it, a lot of psukim, but none of them is talking about the measurements. Do you know what it is?
The menorah?
Yes. Why is the menorah with no measurements?
It was miraculous. It was built from one thing, and all these parts and everything was...
By the way, Rashi... if you learn, yes, but if you learn it with Rashi, you will find out an amazing thing. Rashi writes measurements.
Really?
Yes.
That I didn't know.
It's written somewhere else, but I'm not going to go into it. The idea is, why is it not written in our parsha?
Because
what is the menorah standing for?
Light.
What is light?
Torah.
Light is Torah. Torah. The light of the Torah. Now, light, you can measure light?
No.
Well, you can.
Well,
I'm talking about...
It's also looking up to heaven.
It's a lot of things. The menorah is really telling us about the light of the Torah, which is infinity.
Immeasurable.
It's measurable. Right. It's got no limits.
Right.
So this is like we learn a big lesson from no measurements. Now let's see what we can learn from measurement themselves. For example...
How big is a cubit?
Sorry?
A cubit. Cubit. And a
half.
How
high.
Big is a cubit?
What do you
know?
One. What are you talking about? One cubit.
Cubit is one
and a half cubits.
Yeah. What are we talking about? The amma. Okay, we'll come in a minute. We'll come to it. That's what we're talking about. Amma, by the way, amma, if you want to like translate it in a simple measurement, approximately half a meter.
No,
50 centimeters, approximately. There are a few opinions because that's the amma.
It's supposed to be.
That's the amma. So it's approximately half a meter. So let's see when we talk about the ark, the Arona Kodesh, Arona Edut. What are the measurements? 1 minute. Ve'asu Arona Tzeishitim. Pasuk Yud. The first peg of the parsha, which is Perek Kafhei. Perek Kafhei, Pasuk 10, Pasuk 10, Pasuk Yud. Ve'asu Aron Atzei Shitim. What's the measurements? Amatayim v'chetzi rogot. 2.5 amot is the length. Ve'ama v'chetzi rochbo. 1.5 the width. Ve'ama v'chetzi komato, and 1.5 the height. Okay?
Okay.
Now let's see the measurements of the table. The table, Pasuk Kaf. Kaf Gimel. Pasuk Kaf Gimel.
The bread table.
23. Vasita Shulchan.
23.
Got it?
Yeah.
Vasita Shulchan Atzei Shitim. Hamatayim Orgo. 2 amot are the lengths, ve'ama rochbo, and 1 ama is the width, ve'ama v'chetzi komato, and 1.5 the height.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Low. Well, your furniture, it's low, isn't it?
By the way, people think when we're talking about Aron, I do the thing, something big thing.
No, it's not
nothing.
So big.
It's something like this.
Right.
That's
right.
The size of it.
I didn't imagine it any bigger.
Now, let's see. We're going to go to the altar in a minute, but before this, what do you see? Do you see any difference between the measurements of the Arona Edut and the Shulchan?
Yes. There was one was Amatayim V'chetzi, because I Amatayim.
I'm not talking about the size, but I'm talking the way it is described.
Oh, no.
It's completely different than the Aron. It had a place to put bread in it.
Yeah, but...
No, but she's talking about...
I'm talking about that there is something in the measurements.
No, I didn't.
When we look at the measurements...
One they say before the Aron, and then the other is opposite.
The difference is...
No.
There is difference.
Whatever you say is good, but I'm talking about something else, okay? The difference is that when we talk about the Arona Edut, where the Torah is inside, we have all the measurements are broken.
Chatsi.
2.5, yes. 1.5, and 1.5. Okay? And when we talk about a shulchan, we have a part is whole and a part is also broken. In other words, we have 2 meters and 1.5.
Yeah, but two are whole.
Yes.
Amatai Markov, Ama Rachbo.
No, if you think that that's for no reason, there is a reason. But before we go to the reason, let's see what's happening with the altar. Now we've got one item, it's got all the measurements broken. The other item has got a part broken, part whole. And let's go to the altar, which is almost at the end of the parsha. It's also very interesting. Why is it put there and not here? But that's a different issue. Let's go and find it. Okay, it's Pasuk Perek Kaf Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. It's almost at the end of the parsha. Got it? Kaf Zayin Aleph. The first pasuk of Kaf Zayin. Vasita et hamizbeach.
There
we go. Yes, there are two mizbechot. This one is bigger from the other one. That's the big mizbeach where they had all the sacrifices. The other one is the mizbeach haktoret. Got it, okay? ועשית את המזבח עצי שיטים, 5 אמות, 5 אמות length, 5 אמות width, רבוע יהיה, it's a square, ו3 אמות קומתו, and 3 אמות the height. Now what do you see here? All the measurements are whole. Full measurements. I'm not talking about the double. That's by the way, it's also an issue. Everything that's written here is something to learn. But now we're talking about the way, like we have the Aron, all the measurements are broken. The Shulchan, we have a part broken, a part all. And then we have the altar, which all the measurements are whole.
And it's a square.
Now, what is the reason? What is the Aron for? What is it standing for?
For the Torah.
For the Torah. And let's put it in a little more particular. It's talking about the Talmid Chacham, the one who learns the Torah. Because the Torah is inside the Aron. So the Aron itself is keeping the Torah in. Who is keeping the Torah in? Those who learn the Torah. Or those who hold the Torah. Or help the Torah. Mm-hmm. Now, when we learn Torah, we have to understand and realize that, as we say, the Torah's got no limits. In other words, you can never get to be whole with the Torah. You're always on the halfway. There's always more to learn. So that's why, when we're talking about Aron HaEdut, all the measurements are broken. Because you can never get to perfection with the Torah. You always got more and more to learn, and you have to understand it. Then, when we go to the table stands, you know what the table stands for? What do you do on a table normally?
Eat.
Otherwise, parnosa. Mm-hmm. So the table stands for parnosa. All the physical things that you need and want in life. Now in this, we have an interesting point. Because we have a part broken, a part whole. When Yaakov meets Esav, and he gives him the presents, Esav says, I've got plenty. Yesh li rav. What is Yaakov saying?
I have enough.
No. Yeshli kol, I've got everything. And that's exactly the way that the table is really coming to us. From one side, if I'm like Yaakov Avinu, which is the best way to be, everything I've got that God gave me, I don't need anything else. God gave me whatever I need. In other words, I have to look at this as whole. That's what I need. And what my friends got has nothing to do with me. And on the contrary, if I will have what my friend have, it's only going to be for the worse. It's not going to help me. But from the other side, we have those who want more and more and more. And when you want more, you like Esav, yesh li rav, but I want more. So the shulchan is the way you should be is like the whole measurements. To believe and really believe that whatever God gave you, the best for you. It's not enough, it's everything. Enough, you know, it's always enough, I can have more. And that's, you know, the our sages say, "En adam olech lebet olamo v'chatzi ta'avato biyadu." You don't go to the next world with half of your desire. You got only half. And from the other side, they tell us, "Mi sheyesh lo me'mane, rotze matayim." One who's got 100 wants 200. Yeah. One who's got 200 wants 400. And when we look at those two things that our sages say, something is not so right. Because "en adam olech v'chatzi ta'avato v'yato," it means that you don't even get half. Yeah. But for the other side, Chazal say, if you want 100, you want 200. 100 is not 100 half of 200? Mm-hmm. So what are Chazal really telling us? The other half we haven't got is always more. Yeah. In other words, you haven't got even half, because the grass on the, of your neighbor is greener. And that's also a big, big lesson. So that's the Shulchan. So
wars break out because of that also.
Now when we come to the altar, what's happening with the altar? The altar is our connection with God. In other words, if we sinned, we bring a sacrifice to fulfill ourselves, to get to the combination of us with God. With this is perfection. So all the measurements of the altar are whole. Because that's what we want. We want to be connected to God. And if you do this, that's the best thing in the world. So we saw what we learned from a few measurements. And what we learn from no measurements. And now let's learn another thing. To understand and realize that all those details that we read in our parsha have got so much to teach us. Like how to behave in life. For example, we had the boards that the Mishkan was built of.
Right.
And on it we had two poles that go all the way to each one of the walls, one and two, and in the middle you had another pole that was going inside. You didn't see it from the outside. And this is written mikatze el katze, from one side to the other side. So one of the explanations is saying that one side to other side means that you have three walls. So in each wall, you had three poles. Two that you saw and one that you didn't see. But the other one, explanation says, sorry, that's not what's written. It says, mikatze el katze. In other words, from the beginning
to the end.
Which means that this middle pole was going to the corner, bending, till it got to the other side. Now, yes. Now, the middle pole that you didn't see was a crucial pole, because this was everything was standing on it. Because this was the thing inside that held everything. And what is this trying to teach us? What is more important, the inside or the outside?
The inside.
But you don't see the inside. Mm-hmm. So if you want it to have to be a good inside, you have to be like this pole that goes around. And sometimes you have to bend yourself.
But how did it go around? It came out of both ends.
A miracle.
It bent. Yeah, but if it's bent, then it doesn't have an end.
You've got a pen. I'll show you. You've got a pen.
I bring
it. I have a pen.
You have paper.
A ton of paper.
A pen we've got. Now paper. Okay, it was built like this. Okay, those are the walls.
I have Yosef.
Goes like this. Okay, so you had a pole going in here. You have that, and then in, and the other one was going here. There was a hole, and it was going in here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's imagine to ourselves that the inside one coming out from here. It doesn't come out, but I just want to explain. Now it goes here, here, here. Comes to the corner, bends. here, comes to the corner,
bends.
I understood that.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was going from this side to the other side. And on the corner it bent.
But there were four people holding it, no?
Nobody's holding it.
That's the building. That's
the tent.
That's the building. On this you put the thing. It's the tent. That's the tent. No. That's not the ark. That's the tent. We're talking about the tent now. The tent itself. Oil. Here. That's the building. We're talking about the building. The pole that holds all the covers and everything. Now, what is the idea behind it? As we understand, it's talking about the inside. You know, I was sitting the other day, a few years ago, on the beach. It could be the other day, but it was raining now. I would go to the beach at this time. So I saw kids playing around with the sand, building castle from the sand. How do you do this?
With water.
With water.
Can I build it without water?
No.
Can I do something only with the water?
No.
Okay. So in order to build a castle from sand, I have to mix it with water, and then I build a beautiful building. Now, when I look at this beautiful castle of sand, do I see the water?
No.
But the water is there.
But you see the
what
sand?
Is water?
Torah.
What is water? It's the asset of life. In other words, it's Torah, it's life, it's everything. Now, what is sand? How is the man, human being built? Afar me'adama. From sand, from earth.
Only the men. The women, no.
No, the women are built from gold. The women are built from gold. Now.
You're going to put gold over it.
Yes.
Well.
This is what they are hard to understand.
Yes. Now, human being. Can a human being live without a neshama?
Without
a neshama?
No.
What is this? Just flesh and blood, nothing. From how do you say? Me'afar bata ve'afar tashuv. You come from dust and go back to dust. In other words, without the spirit, without the neshama, is nothing. Now, the neshama by itself can live in this world?
No.
Also no. In other words, only the combination of the neshama with the body, you have human being. The same way is the temple, the same way is the world, and the same thing is everything around us. The spiritual world and the physical world are connected together. This is the meaning of this world. And that's, by the way, the understanding of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is really the symbol of the world. The Mishkan is a symbol of a human being. The human being is a symbol of the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is a symbol of the upper world. In other words, everything has got a certain way to teach us about us and about what's around us. If I want to learn and understand, for example, even the organs, our organs are built in a certain way to teach us about the spiritual way, life. Where is the mind?
The head.
What is the mind? The neshama. What is the seichel? It's control everything. Now, who should control? The neshama. Then we have the heart. And then we have the liver. What is the liver doing?
Filtering the blood.
The same way. And where does it get the blood from? From the heart. In other words, if the proper way is mind, neshama,
heart,
and liver. Heart sends the right message, and then the liver is taking all the oxygen and all the poison out. If it's the opposite way, oy vavoy, cannot work.
No.
So, in other words, let's see. What does it mean? How is a human being going, walking? Where is the head? Up. In other words,
closer.
Moach, lev. Kaved. What is this? Melech. King. Moach. Lev. Kaved. If I make it opposite, I have klum without a vav. Kaf. Lamed. Mem. Klum.
You're writing this down for us.
No problem. Now, an animal. How is an animal walking?
With four.
It depends on which animal.
Everything is on the same level, and the head normally, and the head normally is also
down,
facing down.
Yeah.
In other words, what is controlling the animal? Definitely not the mind. It's instinct. It's something else. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, if you want to be a human being, what should control everything? The neshama.
Right.
So, the inside is the main basic thing. And this grief brings us back, for example, to Aron HaEdut, which is where the Torah was being put. How was this built, Aron HaEdut? Aron HaEdut was built from three cases. Mm-hmm. One gold, a wooden one, and another gold one. In other words, a case in a case. And the last one had a cover that when you looked at it, it looked everything gold, from inside and outside. Now, our sages say that, and it's logical, that this Aron is really the symbol of a Talmid Chacham. And they say, Talmid Chacham she'en tocho kevaro eino Talmid Chacham. A Talmid Chacham that its inside is not like the outside is not a Talmid Chacham. Where do we learn it from? From Aron HaEdut. Because it's what? Inside gold and outside gold. But 1 minute, there's a problem here. Because in the middle was wood. So,
we have bones.
It's a fake. It's not exactly what's inside, it's outside. So what's going on here? So the idea is very, very simple. First of all, he says, "Mibayit u'michutz tetzapenu." When we talk about the Aron HaEdut, when we go back to the beginning of the parsha, the pasuk is talking, pasuk 10 that we talked before about the measurements of the Aron. It says, "Va'asu Aron atzei shitim ha-matayim v'chetzi rokov ha-mav v'chetzi rokov ha-mav v'chetzi komato v'tzipita oto zahav tahor." You will cover it with gold, pure gold. Mibayit u'michutz tetzapenu. What is mibayit u'michutz? Bayit means from inside and outside. What is the first thing?
Inside.
First of all, your inside has to be pure. Then you reflect to the outside. But what's happening with the wood in the middle? While you do this, don't be,
convinced.
No.
No.
Don't be proud.
Be
humble.
Vain.
Be humble.
Don't be vain.
And wood is telling you to be humble. In other words, yes, inside and outside, but in the middle, before you take out your stuff, you have to remember who gave it all to you, God. So you have to be humble. Now, what's the idea of gold inside and gold outside? Some people think, you know, I'm going to be humble, so I'm not going to talk. I know a lot of Torah. I'm gold inside, but no gold outside, only wood. Is this good or bad?
Bad.
If God gave you the power to know things, what should you do with it?
Give it to others.
Use it and teach others.
Right.
So the inside has to reflect outside. But that's somebody who looks like a Talmid Chacham, but inside there is no gold. It's also no good. In other words, a Talmid Chacham is one who's got the gold inside and he shows it outside in a humble way through the wood. Now also wood is also another thing. Wood is something that lives, grows. Gold is something that doesn't change. So the Torah is also something that you cannot be still. You have to grow all the time. So when we look at the parsha, it's unbelievable. You know, every detail has got a big lesson for us. So in other words, all those details, suddenly we find out, what? 1 minute, this is an unbelievable thing. We can learn more and more and more. And believe me, every pasuk here, you can learn so many things about us. For example, it's written, Ashei Shitim Omdim, that the pillars are from wood standing. Of course they're standing. A pillar always stands. So what is Ashei Shitim Omdim? Not only this, they grew like this. As we said, there was a famous Moel in Petach Tikva, Rav Miller used to call. And he did my birth, by the way. He passed away a few years ago. He was a real tzaddik, an unbelievable guy. So he, when he was young, he learned in a yeshiva in Haifa. And one day he was going on a train with his rabbi to Tel Aviv or somewhere. And on the way, his rabbi is asking him, "What do you see?" So he looks around, what do you mean? He says, "What do you see there?" He says, "Oh, yeah, I see a shepherd with the sheep." So the rabbi says, "Yeah, and what do you see there?" He says, "I see a shepherd with sheep." He says, "No, no, what do you see there?" I say, "Rabbi, I don't see anything else. I see a shepherd with the sheep." He says, "No, look very carefully and tell me what you see." And then the rabbi says, "You know what you see? You see those animals? How many have got there? 50, 60, maybe 100 of them even. I don't know, I didn't count them. And look, they're all going on four. And look at this small, stupid shepherd. It doesn't know how to read, doesn't know how to write, doesn't know anything. But is he going on four?
No.
He's going on two. Why? The majority that near him are going on
four.
Why is he not going on four? He says, "What do you mean? He's a human being." Ah. Oh. Mm-hmm. If this Arab kid knows he's a human being, you as a Jew have to know what you are. And even if the animals are around you, and you know what I'm talking about, animals behaving like animals, you have to remember, Atzei Shitim Omdim. Because the Mishkan is us. So we should stand. Even if everybody's walking on four like an animal, we are standing like human beings. So what's controlling? The mind, the neshama. Unfortunately, sometimes doesn't work with us. Sometimes we are doing things that animals do. But we have to learn, understand, and realize what it's all about. When we talk about our parsha, it all starts also with a very strange thing. It says, V'yikhu li truma. What's the meaning of V'yikhu li truma? If I want to ask you for truma, what should I tell you?
Give.
Tnu li truma. Give me. Take me truma? Not. What's take me truma? V'yikhu li truma. So there are a lot of explanation on this way the pasuk is written. One of them is that first of all, if you think you're giving something to God, God doesn't need your things. He doesn't need all those trumot here. You are not giving anything. You are really taking. Because what is the temple for? Who is it for? For you. For us. We give something to God. Everything we've got, God gave us. The other interesting thing is, the Ikhuri Truma, Rav Yitzchak Bernstein Zatzali brings it, he brings it in the name of, I don't remember who it is, but the Rambam also said, you see, the building, the temple, it was something that has to come from the people, not from an individual. What does it mean? It's something that all of us are building together. So, you couldn't take a personal donation, private donation, and put it to building the Mishkan. So how did you do it? You had the Gaboim, and they yikhu li truma me'et kol ish asher idvenu libo. You will take the donation from the people that want to give it with all their heart. In other words, you have two stages. One stage is chuli, you should take for me, like an order. But you are taking only from those who give it with all the heart. But they by themselves cannot give it directly to build the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is something for all of us. And this is a basic thing. Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha. Everything is built on this. When we build a Mishkan, ועשו לי מקדש ושכנתי בתוכם. מקדש is not only in singular before, from the talking about the building. מקדש is the symbol of Am Israel together, as we receive the Torah. כאיש אחד, בלב אחד. What's written there? The same thing. ויחן שם ישראל. And should written what? ויחנו שם ישראל. The opposite thing. To tell us that we have to be like one. In other words, Vasurim Mikdash Veshachanti Betocham. When is the Kodesh Baruch Hu going to dwell among us? When each one of us is bringing his donation, his private donation, and put it together with the clan.
So we're going to be united.
Of course.
Community.
Okay. This is our ambition. Maybe sometimes it sounds like science fiction, but we hope it's not going to be science fiction. You know, somebody asked me a few weeks ago, we were talking about that the Gula will come, everybody has to be united and have to do tshuva. And he says, is it even logical that everybody is going to do tshuva? It's impossible. So we are really fighting a lost battle. It's not it. We cannot win. It's a no-win situation. But the thing is, the idea is very simple. You have to understand, each one of us will put his own private share in the feeling of giving to others. And this is a power that grows. And God is there to help us. And the minute each one of us is going to do his small thing, a little bit, to go in the right direction, it will have an influence on all the others. And those that it wouldn't have an influence will not be there with us, unfortunately. The same way that was happening in Egypt. We talked about it. V'chamushim yatzu bnei Yisrael. Only 20% went out of Egypt. You know what? You're talking about millions that stayed there. And that's an old story that is really happening all the time in history. Nazi Germany. Before the Nazis went up to power, the Jews were mingling among the Goyim. They were so involved in the German society. And God said, "Va'omar lach bedamai chayi, va'omar lach bedamai chayi." You have two options of blood. It can be a blood of Brit Milah, or a sacrifice, and it can be, unfortunately, a different blood. But you cannot mix with the Goyim. If you try to mix with the Goyim, I will separate you.
So why were rabbis killed?
You see, the thing is very simple. If you realize, we talked about it a lot, this world is only a passageway. Everybody's got a mission. Now, one rabbi can stand for 2 million people. You don't know. We don't know the calculation of God. But you have to understand and realize, if he's a tzaddik, believe me, he's in a much better place. Don't worry about it for a minute. The loss is for us. It's like when we always, when we come to somebody who is mourning, we say, "Amakom yenachem otcha betoch shar v'lel tzvi v'yerushalayim." We talked about it a few times. The place will comfort you. What's the meaning of it? What comfort is the place will come? What place?
Hamakom ze gam Hashem.
So what is the makom? Where is the neshama now? With God. So the neshama, has it good or bad? Unbelievable, with God. That's what we all want. In other words, Hamakom, the place where the neshama is now, you think about it and you will be comforted. It's like this guy had 3 sons. And they're all very successful. But unfortunately, they had to leave home and go far away. Each one is his own profession. One is a doctor in South Africa. The other one is a manager of a big factory in Tanzania. I don't know, you choose whatever you want. And I was in Canada. And is the father happy or sad?
He's sad.
Happy.
Happy and sad. He's got successful kids. Is he not happy? Of course he's happy. But he's sad that they're not with him. No. But at the end of the day, he wouldn't change the picture.
No.
And that's exactly what we have to understand and realize. The neshama is up there in heaven. And we can do things better for the neshama. If we behave properly, we elevate the neshama more and more. In other words, if we think about the place where the neshama is, are we sad or happy?
Happy.
Happy. No, for the neshama, we're happy. We are sad that he left us.
Yeah.
But we are happy about the place where the neshama is. And that's the idea. Now, we're talking about, you know, talking about the Holocaust and all the things. Terrible things happen. We cannot explain, and we don't try to explain. Because God works in mysterious ways. And we have to understand and realize that each one of those people that was murdered by those Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, is in heaven. In other words, didn't lose, the neshama didn't lose anything. On the contrary, some of those neshamas who were not exactly tzaddikim, they are now considered tzaddikim because once they went through. You see the calculation, what God is saying, lo machshavotai machshavotechem, I don't think like you, you cannot go into my mind. You know, when you learn Kabbalah, there is something that is infinity, Ein Sof. But Ein Sof is already something that we don't know anything about, and it's not God. Because God is above it. We've got no knowledge, no idea what God is. So we try to understand what's happening in this world. You know, it's like this guy who is looking in the hall of a door, and he sees, and I told also something I told you a few times ago, and he sees somebody with a knife cutting somebody. Terrible. A murder. He opens the door, it's an operation. So what is this really the guy doing? He's a doctor who is saving the life of the opposite thing. You thought he's killing him, but the real truth is he's saving him. Sometimes people cut a part of their body because it's going to save their life. So unfortunately, we will have to have some cuts in our nation. People who won't understand and won't do tshuva, they will have, unfortunately, a different way. And that happened in Jesus. In other words, we hope that the majority, let's say, we hope that everybody in Am Yisrael will do tshuva. But to think that there is no hope, there is always a hope. And Bezrat Hashem, if we do the right thing, if we will understand that what we read in this parsha is not a story about building this tent in the desert, it's a story of our life. It's the story of how we should behave. And if each one of the details we learn and put it inside us, as we say, the inside, but in the Mishkan is the important part. But it's not only the inside. It has to come outside also. If somebody is a Talmid Chacham and sits in a yeshiva, I don't know where, and doesn't talk with nobody, he's a tzaddik. It's not a tzaddik. A tzaddik cares about others. A tzaddik goes out to help others. Because otherwise, you can go back there. There you can sit and learn. Here you have a job to do. The job is, we say in Shema, Lilmod ulelamed lishmor velaasot. To learn, to teach, to keep, and to do. That's our job. How do we know what to do? Here, for example, we read a few lessons today. And if we go deeper in it, we can learn more and more details. Go ahead.